Welcome to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. I'm Amy Brown, here with co-host Meredith DeFrancesco. Today we'll be speaking with Dr. Susan Shaw and Cherie Mason of the Marine Environmental Research Institute. But first, a few announcements. The regular monthly meeting of the Peninsula Peace and Justice Center will be at 6 o'clock at the Blue Hill Congregational Church this evening. A potluck at 6 p.m. will be followed by a meeting starting at 6:30. All are welcome, and the agenda includes Russell Ray of Sullivan, who will give a short talk, including a 15-minute video on the U.S. Navy's program of underseas low-frequency sonar, its devastating effects on marine mammal life, and the concurrent legislation being proposed presently that will exclude the Pentagon from environmental accountability and oversight. Also on the agenda is an update on the Peninsula Peace film series, discussion of the Mother's Day March for Peace in Bath, and other announcements. And at the end of the meeting, there will be a presentation of photos from the Washington, D.C. anti-war march. For more information, call 326-4405. The Mother's Day March for Peace that we just mentioned is going to be held in Bath this Sunday at 2 o'clock. There will be a walk across the Bath Bridge starting on the Woolwich side, followed by a gathering at Library Park in Bath. The march is sponsored by and endorsed by Peace Action Maine, Physicians for Social Responsibility, Veterans for Peace, Let Cuba Live, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, Peaceworks, Women in Black, National Organization for Women, Global Action Network, Peace and Justice Center of Eastern Maine, and Peace and Justice Group of Waldo County. Mother's Day was founded in 1872 by Julia Ward Howe as a day dedicated to world peace. There will be speakers, entertainment. People are encouraged to bring banners and a picnic. For more information on that, you can call 725-7675.
And now today's story. Persistent pollutants such as dioxins, PCBs, mercury, and pesticides are all known to contaminate the Gulf of Maine, the resident fish, and subsequently the seals at the top of the food chain. The level of toxic contaminants in the Gulf of Maine, however, has not been examined in over 25 years. The Marine Environmental Research Institute, MERI, based out of Blue Hill, Maine, has just begun an extensive 5-year multidisciplinary project to study these levels and the health effects on Maine's harbor seals. Studying both captured and stranded animals, tissue, and blood will help to indicate the effects of toxins on immune and endocrine systems. The study is partially funded by the State of Maine DEP Monitoring Program and has been recognized as a priority project by the Gulf of Maine Council on the Maine Environment. MERI, again, the Marine Environmental Research Institute, was founded more than 10 years ago by one of our guests today, Dr. Susan Shaw, environmental scientist and public health professional. MERI is a nonprofit organization that conducts long-term research and provides educational programs on the impacts of pollutants on marine life and human health. We also have with us today MERI spokesperson, Cherie Mason, who was here at WERU doing the program Environmental Journal and then the Wildlife Journal for 13 years. The seal study has just begun in 2001, and on April 15th, Dr. Shaw presented the first report to the state on the data that has been thus far collected. We thank you very much for both of you to come and talk to us about this study here today.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. And Cherie, we were just saying that we were going to start first with you. You were going to talk with us about Susan Shaw and her work with seals and what drew you to be interested
in this. Yes, and what am I doing here
on
an interview with Dr. Shaw?
I think it's appropriate.
Thank you. I am very honored to be here, very honored to be part of MERI. Let me say some things about Dr. Shaw that she can't say about herself. The reason I am so drawn to MERI, the Marine Environmental Research Institute, is because its mission is so unique. To combine the health and welfare of marine life, marine mammals, with human health, to me, is irresistible. That is an extremely important scientific project and a goal, and in my opinion, unique. Dr. Shaw was studying science, actually, toxology and environmental toxology and immunology at Columbia University's School of Public Health. And she was working on AIDS and HIV and working on her dissertation when she realized she wasn't getting anywhere, and it wasn't going anywhere. She didn't feel satisfied. So she came to Maine, to a summer house on Mount Desert Island, and sat and thought, I think I'll find another purpose, another dissertation. And looking out at the water, and obviously the beautiful seals, who are draw all of us with their beauty and their charm, she saw them and she thought, this is lovely. She read at that time about an enormous die-off of seals in the Baltic North Sea area, tremendous, significant die-off. And scientists were figuring out what and why. And she said, there it is. There it is. I'm going to make that my pursuit, and I'm going to try to link what's happening to those seals in that environment. Fish are in that environment. We're eating the fish. Where is the link? So in that time, she formed with a colleague, Mary. And Susan, please interrupt me if I'm not getting this right. And that's how Mary was born in that unique time. It has only been 10 years. And when Susan tells you what they have accomplished in 10 years and what she's working on now, it is astonishing. And the board, I might say, is an international board. The board of directors are all internationally known people. So I am a volunteer at Mary happily. There are many volunteers, and I invite anyone listening after this half hour to become a volunteer, because I'm so absolutely enchanted with this project.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
And this marine mammal research program at Mary, since 1991, you've been looking at these issues extensively. Do you want to talk to us about this particular seal study and what got you started on this?
Yes, I'd love to. Thank you very much for having me here.
Thank you.
I'd like to say that we started actually in 1991 looking at the question of what affects the health of marine mammals. And there, at that time, there were late 1980s, there had been a massive die-off that Cherie referred to, of harbor seals in the North Sea and the Baltic Sea, both of which are quite polluted. And the immediate cause of the die-off was a morbillivirus, which is a distemper virus. But scientists thought that the chemicals may be involved, and when tissue studies were done, they found that these animals had quite high levels of PCBs and other persistent pollutants that are toxic to the immune system, the reproductive system, and the endocrine system. So, and they are also very potent developmental toxins. They affect young animals in a devastating way, and some of them are carcinogens. But at any rate, there was a widespread speculation that PCBs were involved in these die-offs by way of suppressing the animal's immune systems and making them very susceptible to this virus that normally they should be able to resist. And our first study, we started out in California looking at the relationship between health and contaminants in Pacific Coast seals, two species, harbor seals and northern elephant seals. And we studied mostly pups, very young animals. So what we found there was that pups may be susceptible to chemicals like PCBs and DDT at very low levels, whereas adults seem to be able to tolerate higher levels of chemicals before you see effects. But in terms of a threshold, a little bit later on in the mid-90s, a study was done in the Netherlands, in fact, two studies. They were captive feeding studies with harbor seals. And it's not exactly a perfect controlled study, but two groups of harbor seals were brought in-house. In one area, they were fed contaminated fish. The other group was fed clean fish. And this clean and dirty feeding study gave us an indication of the threshold level at which effects are seen in adult harbor seals. And that magic number was about 25 parts per million PCBs in the blubber of harbor seals. So at that level, they started to see immune suppression in the animals that were highly exposed. Also, they saw lack of reproductive capacity. The animals couldn't reproduce. The other thing they saw was drastically reduced thyroid hormone levels and levels of vitamin A in the serum of the animals. And the hormone changes are very important to development. So in a young animal, you would expect that some of those effects would be seen at a much lower level than you found in the adults. And indeed, that's what we did discover in our Pacific Coast seal study. And then since then, that was my thesis study at Columbia University. Mm-hmm. So since then, we have moved to this area, and as of 2001, we started a multi-year study of persistent pollutants and their effects in Atlantic Coast seals.
And what is the stretch of you, when you're speaking of the Atlantic Coast? Is the Gulf of Maine?
We're looking throughout the whole Gulf of Maine, mm-hmm. and the animals, the range of the animals is all up into, some are up in, as high up as the Bay of Fundy, and the bulk of the harbor seal range is, the concentrations are here in Maine, but some go down as far as Cape Cod, and even down along Nantucket Sound, Long Island Sound. So we... The study is quite has a quite large geographic range.
Yes.
And we've done a lot of effort in the last year and a half now, collecting samples from both live and dead seals. We're looking at contaminants in harbor seals and gray seals. We have quite a lot of data on both harbor and gray seals now in the Gulf of Maine.
And you said there are two both seals that are mm-hmm. captured and are studied, then also stranded, both dead and brought in for rehabilitation. You're looking at sort of three sets almost.
Yes. Because seals are, as other marine mammals are, protected under the Marine Mammal Protected Act of 1972, they're a protected species in the United States. So in order to get samples, we have had to be very collaborative and opportunistic in a way. So we've gotten data from different programs. And our first data set came from a population survey that was done last spring, looking at live seals that were captured and radio tagged. And at the time they were captured, we took blood and hair from those animals and analyzed the blood for contaminants in the hair. Also, we can analyze metals in hair.
And what contaminants are you looking for, and what have been some of your preliminary findings?
In those seals, which are the live captured group of seals, it was about 30 animals, two groups, one in Penobscot Bay and another group in Cape Cod Bay. And between the two, the total sample size was about 30. We found we were looking for dioxin-like compounds in the plasma. We were looking for metals like mercury, lead, cadmium, copper, zinc. And what surprised us was those seals were presumably, in quotes, healthy, because they're wild, they're free-ranging, they were just captured and tagged, you know. And what we found in those, that was all harbor seals, as a matter of fact, and in those animals, we found quite high levels of dioxin-like compounds. And that led us to think that we needed to know more. It looked like, and there were also levels of mercury and high levels of lead. There was a very surprising spike of lead in the animals off Cape Cod. And that particular group consisted of older males. And in older males' animals, you can see what's going up into the population through the food chain, because these compounds are accumulated on an age-dependent basis. As the animal ages, they get higher, with the exception of females that are reproductively active, because they are continuously downloading their body burden of persistent compounds to the young pup.
So in Penobscot Bay, you're saying you're seeing dioxin-like compounds and mercury.
Mercury.
At much higher levels than you expected to see?
Much higher. The dioxins were much higher than we expected. And they the Cape Cod dioxin levels were higher still than the animals in Maine, but they again were the older male animals, so they you would expect to see higher levels. But the levels we saw there were comparable to the levels, and in some cases higher than the levels in the European seals that were in the captive feeding study
that were being fed
yeah. The high exposure group, which exhibited immune suppression, reproductive impairment, and hormone suppression.
So what you're saying is in the study that you're talking about, they were actually given fish deliberately that had these contaminants at certain levels to study what the outcome would be, but the wild animals that were just temporarily captured and then released here, but that you got the blood from just to see what they were getting in the wild, had higher levels?
In some cases, higher levels. In the Cape Cod animals, the level of dioxin-like toxicity, it's called the TEQ, which is toxic equivalent relative to dioxin, was much higher than what we found in the seals in the Netherlands. So it surprised us, and because of the size of the sample, we have to do more work to confirm that. We didn't know exactly what it meant. You can't draw a conclusion from just, 30 animals. But it certainly was cause for concern, and it's a reason to pursue the study further. And then we went much further with the material we got from stranded animals in all throughout the Gulf of Maine. And we just got the data back from the lab. We're analyzing it even this week. So, and I'm going to present that at a conference in Mystic Saturday.
Yes.
So it's kind of hot off the press, I guess you mm-hmm. would say.
Susan, make the connection between pups and human babies and why that's important, the effect of these contaminants, why that is important to know how it affects a seal pup and what that means to a human baby. With the Inuit, perhaps you could mm-hmm. describe that.
I would say in humans, who, like the mothers of Great Lakes children, there are certain human populations where we've seen these same effects in infants and children. And we started seeing that around the Great Lakes with mothers who were consuming large quantities of contaminated fish. The children had IQ deficits that lasted through childhood. They had cognitive deficits, and they had smaller birth weight and problems in school and problems with learning throughout their childhood. They've been studied for many, many years now. Then with what I consider what we call high extreme populations, very high-risk human populations such as the Inuit, we've seen very devastating effects in children. As a result of the Inuit have a practice of eating whale blubber and seal blubber. And so they've been studied now for about 10 years. And Inuit children with high levels of like DDT, PCBs, other pesticides from the mother's body burden have shown they have middle ear infections and other infections. And about 1 in 4 are partial hearing loss as teenagers.
And so you're definitely saying that the seals are, as you're calling, a sentinel species, something that indicates what could be happening in humans. Because there's also similarity in what what the seals eat and what humans are eating. For instance, hake, you said, is a common...
Right. Hake is about 60 to 70% of the summer diet of harbor seals. And hake is a common... It's a fish that... Certainly people are consuming.
Great. And also we should mention that you had said that half the breeding population of harbor seals, population in total, is in the Blue Hill Bay and Penn Bay.
And Mary is located right in Blue Hill Bay, right on the harbor. So we're right in that area that's called seal country. Between Blue Hill Bay and Penobscot Bay, over half the breeding population of harbor seals comes every summer to have their pups.
And can I mention now about the problem we have right now? Do we want to alert listeners who are boaters, kayakers, picnickers, that now is prime seal pupping time? And
leave them
from
alone.
Now until the end of June, it isn't just leave them alone. Stay at least 50 feet away if you see a pup on a ledge. And restrain your pets. And if you think there is a problem, because we have a stranding hotline, you can call us at 374-2135. We'll give that number again. But this is a very prime time to be very careful in your boating practices between until mid-July, wouldn't you say, Susan?
Mm-hmm.
To watch for that.
And actually, you said that Dr. Susan Shaw, you'll be the keynote speaker at the Maine Coast Seminar in Stonington on the 18th, where it's all-day seminar for educators and Maine guides, and you'll be talking about seals as an indicator for the Gulf of Maine and how to take care, particularly about disturbing pups during this time. Briefly, because we'll have to be wrapping up soon. Maybe if we want to get to talking about Mary in general, just a little more of how people can involved in what it does. But if you want to just, Susan, before we do that, and talk about your hopes for the study right now and just where you're at, just kind of wrap up and give people an idea of where you are and where you're going with that.
Well, just, briefly, we are seeing in the stranded seals, we are seeing very high levels of similar compounds, but particularly PCBs, dioxin-like PCBs, and metals.
Any idea where that may be coming from?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think throughout the Gulf of Maine, these animals are exposed to contaminated habitats and prey, and then there are hot spots. And there's a well-known hot spot of a pulse of mercury that's one of the highest in the country from Penobscot Bay. And then, right, PCBs, there's hot spots all along the coast where, let's say, military bases where transformer equipment was dumped, transformer oil was dumped. For example, Scutic Point is one of those. And down at in Cape Cod, where we saw such a very high lead level in the seals, there was an old military base where they had artillery firing. So these pockets of contaminants are throughout the range. We don't know all of them, but they're there. And then we are picking them up in seals, which are at the top of the food chain, which is where humans are. That's why we're studying seals.
We really mustn't leave this, though, without emphasizing how important education is to Mary, because our theme, of course, is that we're protecting the marine environment through research and education. And we have a very, very interesting and comprehensive summer program for children and adults on the water, where children go out on our boat and learn about a hands-on experience with our interns. And it's you can call and get the whole schedule for the summer by calling 374-2135. And we have Friday nights, we have a program for, including popcorn, with an ocean video night for families. In fact, May 17 will be Mountain in the Sea video and filming secrets. So that would be, that's, and we really do invite people to come to our office, which is newly, it's under reconstruction now. We're getting there it's beautiful, right on Main Street in Blue Hill. And please come in and we'll welcome you. We have a nice library there. You can take books out. You can see our ocean room for children with hands-on aquariums where children learn about marine life. It's a very warm and welcoming research center, so we hope people will come by.
Great. And there's a lab on location there that you have set up but still is looking to be fully equipped with everything you need.
Yes,
is that right?
We have marine laboratories that we're trying to raise money to equip. We have some equipment. We have some parts of it finished. But one part we're dying to fund is our marine mammal care unit so that we have the space. We need to get the equipment. It's emergency equipment like you'd see in an emergency room, IVs and stuff, so that we can take in stranded animals, stranded seals, and house them overnight, stabilize them, and then get them down to rehabilitation in southern Maine.
And that number again, if anybody wants to send you some money to help make that a reality?
374-2135.
And there's a website as well, right?
There definitely is.
It's www.maryresearch.org. MERIresearch.org.
Mm-hmm. Cherie's better than
No, you say Mary so much, and people don't know if it's M-A-R, what it is, stands for our letters.
Yeah. Great.
I think, actually, we're just about done. If you want to say just a few words, I think we're have maybe 30 seconds.
Well, why don't I give Mary's purpose, which I've got written here, which is, I think, a nice way to go out. Mary's purpose is to advance our knowledge about ocean pollutants and their impact on the health of marine mammals and humans, to provide preventive solutions, and to ensure that our oceans and coastal waters are safe for marine mammals and for us.
Great, and we hope to hear more as this groundbreaking, truly extensive study that you're working on, and hear more about it as you're working on it. I hope you will keep us informed and people will get involved.
Great. Cherie Mason, Dr. Susan Shaw, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
My soul has been torn from me, and I am bleeding. My heart, it has been rent, and I am crying. As the beauty around me fails, and I am screaming, I'm the last of the great whales, and I am dying. Last night I heard the call of my last companion, the blast of a harpoon gun, and I swam alone. I reflected on days gone by, when we were thousands, and I know that I soon will die, the last leviathan. This morning the sun did rise in a crimson north sky. The ice was the color of blood, and I heard the wind sigh. I rose up to take a breath, it was my last one. From a gun came the roar of death, and now I'm undone. My soul has been torn from me, and I am bleeding. My heart, it has been rent, and I am crying. As the beauty around me fails, and I am screaming, I'm the last of the great whales, and I am dying. And now that we all are gone, there will be no more hunting. The big fellow is no more, and it's no use lamenting. What race will be next in line? Oh, for the slaughter! The elephant or the seal, or your sons and daughters. My soul has been torn from me, and I am bleeding. My heart, it has been rent, and I am crying. As the beauty round me fails, and I am screaming, I'm the last of the great whales, and I am dying.
That was Peg Millett with The Last Leviathan. You've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. I'm Meredith DeFrancesco.
And I'm Amy Brown.
We'd like to thank Helen York for engineering, Andy Buckley for web support. Our guests today and you for listening and acting. You can contact us here at the station or at radioactive@hotmail.com. You can listen to archived Radioactive programs at our website at www.freespeech.org/RAN or at mainindymedia.org. Stay tuned now for Free Speech News and Democracy Now!